Church, please join me in the worship of our Lord and Savior.
Thank you. Got to put my glasses on this morning. I didn't increase the font size. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Kevin, and I have the privilege of being your host this morning. Kids, if you're ages 3 to 5 or grades 1 to 5, please come take a seat here down at the front step or the floor. You will be continuing to worship downstairs. But before you head down, we want to pray a blessing over you. And worship team, thank you for that set, for leading us this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Isn't that the truth? If you're serving at Little Lights 2 or Kids Church this morning, please come down. Parents, you can bring your child downstairs, or you can let our leaders help them downstairs after a prayer. Quick note, for the next 2 weeks, Kids Church will be joining us in the service, but Little Lights and Nursery will continue as usual over the next 2 weeks in spring break. Awesome. Keep on coming. I love it. All right. Congregation, please extend a hand over these kids, and let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for these children that you brought us here and gathered together here this morning. Just pray that you will continue to bless them this morning and speak to them downstairs as they gather. I just pray for the volunteers and for the leaders too. Just the influence that they have on these children, and just to show them your ways and your love and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Little Lights, leaders, you can exit to the left. Kids Church leaders to the right. So we're getting so many kids, we're going to have to paint some lanes, I think, maybe down here. All right. We are so happy that you are here with us today. It's great to see you. If you made it here in person this morning or whether you are online, you're welcome. And if you're one of those who forgot to set their clock ahead last night and you're going to watch this recording later, you're still welcome. Okay. If you are a guest with us here this morning, we ask you to fill out a Connect card that's available in front of you, and you can bring it to the info booth in the foyer, and you'll receive a gift. As a token of appreciation, we're glad that you made it here this morning. And if you're online this morning, we encourage you to comment, to interact with others online as well. Okay, the journey. The next journey workshop is scheduled for Saturday, March 23rd from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. These journey sessions are intended to equip participants for the journey of faith. They are open to everyone and anyone, and will feature a variety of topics related to faith and spirituality. I was able to attend the one in February on listening. That was hosted by Telecare. And it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Spending a few hours doing that Saturday morning, to me, it was well worth it. So I encourage you, if you can, to be able to make a journey session in the coming weeks, the coming months. The sessions are going to be held every fourth Saturday in the morning and right through May, and they'll be in room 303 up in the upper level up there in that wing. The next session is going to be hosted by Pastor Nathan, and together we will walk through some ways to think about and nurture our prayer life. So if you can sign up for that, for the journey session, you can do that through the office or newlifecrc.ca/events. Holy Week, March 21st, 4th to the 31st, so from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, we will be reflecting on the theme, In Remembrance of Me. On Palm Sunday, we will remember Jesus' triumphal entry as King. And at the Good Friday service on March 29th at 6 p.m., so note 6 p.m. for Good Friday, we will contemplate the sacrifice that Jesus made. And then on Easter Sunday, at 10 a.m., we will celebrate the great hope that Jesus brings. Triumph, sacrifice, and hope. Following Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of me recalls the sadness of Jesus' sacrifice, but it also anticipates the great celebration when we are joined with Jesus in his kingdom. And as part of our celebration together, we would like to have some treats after the service. I don't think anyone's opposed to that. If you are willing to help by bringing a few dozen of your special family secret recipe little treats, please reach out to the office or sign up in the last week's Encourager newsletter. Everyone is welcome to these services, and we anticipate the joyful banquet of the Lord. Senior support workshop. So attention to all seniors and those caring for senior family members, friends, or neighbors. Archway Community Services, which is a local community service organization here in Abbotsford, they are giving a presentation about the various programs they offer and help given to seniors in our community. So this hour-long presentation will take place this coming Wednesday on March 13th at 10 a.m. right here in New Life in room 303. Again, that's upstairs at the wing over there. We hope that you'll be able to join us and gain some useful information about how we can support one another there through in our community. The offering today will be for Youth Unlimited. Youth Unlimited is a local ministry that recently has become a missions partner to New Life. Youth Unlimited is asking for prayer for our partnership. That New Life Church and Youth Unlimited will be able to build a volunteer team that provides meaningful, long-term opportunities for youth who attend Sumath and Barreltown Elementary Schools in Sumas Prairie through mentoring relationships, sports activities, etc. Just think about that for a second. Isn't that awesome? That we can be invited to go into these elementary schools to make a difference, to be the hands and feet of Jesus and show the light of Jesus to these kids. I think that's amazing. So prayer for that, as we get involved with that, would be really appreciated. And maybe even, you know, keeping your eyes and ears open for ways that maybe that's calling you to help out in whatever way, how that's going to form. There'll be more information coming, I'm sure. Right now, so let's take a look at the impact that Youth Unlimited has had in our city this year.
The stories our team here at Youth Unlimited in Abbotsford have to share are filled with hope, resilience, and love. The tireless dedication of our volunteers and youth workers has woven a connection across multiple schools and diverse neighborhoods. Flowing out of the mission of Jesus, we relationally engage in holistic work with vulnerable youth. We are honored to serve in several of Abbotsford's public schools. From a listening ear to warm cups of cocoa, we are there. We connect with students in the hallways and provide mental health support. We are present for the youth who need us most. Our desire is to grow Youth Unlimited's impact on vulnerable youth by creating more opportunities for them to experience the love of Jesus. Thank you for helping us grow.
Hi, I'm Harveen. I'm in grade 11. Jen is my mentor. She's my coach. She's someone I look up to. But best of all, she's my friend. She's someone I can really confide in. And she always makes me feel comfortable. And I know that she's never going to judge me, so I feel comfortable talking to her about anything.
Hi, my name is Roxy, and I'm in grade 11. I first met James and Youth Unlimited when they came to our classes. I remember in grade 9, there was a school lockdown. It was early December when a man came onto the school property. The police were called and they had everyone go inside. I was shaking and crying and rubbing my knees. James found me hyperventilating in the Indigenous room. James sat down with me and asked me to describe 5 things I could see, 3 things I could hear, 2 things I can smell, and 1 thing I could taste. It distracted me from the stress and it made me feel calmer.
Hi, my name is Cheryl and this is my son Logan.
Hello.
My daughter and my son both have autism and high anxiety. There's been so many experiences that Youth Unlimited has been able to provide for us that we wouldn't be able to provide for him. And seeing these youth care workers and the genuine care that they have for the kids.
I trust him with my life any day.
Growing up, I was forced into religion. My husband and I have always decided that we were going to let them choose their own faith and support them what they would like to do. So when Chris told me that Youth Unlimited doesn't actually force any type of religion on anybody, it's just if the kids happen to have any questions, they have the ability to be able to answer them correctly. He's still safe there. He's still allowed to be able to believe what he chooses. It brings up some amazing conversations.
Hi, my name is Mitinder. I am from India. I moved here when I was 4 years old. I'm just very appreciative of this organization for kind of always being there, always supporting, and just what you guys are doing just is really amazing, and I really appreciate it.
I'm really thankful for all of the Youth Unlimited staff, and especially Jen, because she always helps me with anything that I need.
In the end, what I really, really want to do is say thank you for everything that Youth Unlimited has done for our family, and there's just no way that we could ever repay.
We can't do this alone. We need your support to continue this transformative work. Join us in this mission. We hope you will become a part of something truly special, and together we will share the love of Jesus with these incredible youth.
That's amazing. One of the things here at New Life, right, we look at missions as something that we, as a church, as a community, can be involved with locally, regionally in BC, and also globally as well through partnerships. And we're really just excited. I know the missions team is really excited to be partner now with Youth Unlimited. They have an amazing reach and connections in our local community. And that's what we want to do, right? And so, yeah, this is a very exciting opportunity as we connect and work with the Samath and Barrowtown Elementary Schools. Please keep that in your prayer. You can give your offering electronically in the ways listed on the screen, or you can bring it to one of the offering boxes that are at the front, to my left and to my right there, during the fellowship time. Let's pray for the offering and the work of Youth Unlimited. Dear Father, we just thank you for people who care so much about the youth in our community, for Youth Unlimited. We just pray that you will bless their ministry as they show your love and light to these kids, to these youth. We're just thankful for the opportunity, too, that we can join them. We just pray for your blessing, that we, too, can maybe get involved with Samath and Barrowtown Elementary Schools, that we can work with Youth Unlimited and just show your love to those kids there, to be your hands and your feet. We pray for this offering this morning, too, that we can may give generously to support the work that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so before we take our fellowship time, we are dismissing. Those in grades 6 to 9 to the second Sunday breakaway. And the purpose of this breakaway during the service is to engage in deeper conversations together and ask questions about the sermon topic. You can meet your leaders at the top east balcony door, so up there. I think I see Jacob up there already. All right, he's good to go, eager. Second Sunday breakaway takes place in room 303. Youth will be brought back to the auditorium at the end of the service. So if you are in grades 6 to 9, you are now dismissed, and you can head up to the corner up there. All right, fellowship time for everyone. We will take our three-minute fellowship time now. This is the time you can greet one another with a piece of Christ, meet someone new, and welcome them here. You can bring your offering now, either to the front or electronically. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Welcome again to New Life. It's good to be together. Even if we've lost an hour of sleep. But you'll make up for it somewhere along the line. Yeah. Well, as you settle into your seats, let's join together in prayer and give God thanks that He gathers us here and just to plant in our minds and in our hearts how great God is. We've sung about that, and we're going to be talking about that in terms of our spiritual disciplines. And so I just want us to come before our God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, You are a great God. Sometimes, Father, we take it for granted, or we simply let it pass us by how great You are. Scripture sometimes talks about how we ought to fear You, and we generally smooth that out by saying, well, fear doesn't mean to be scared, and it doesn't. And yet, God, You are so great that it ought to drop our jaw at how great You are, how holy You are, how powerful You are. And so, Father, as we gather around Your word, we pray that You will open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see Your greatness. And to live in that greatness, always coming before You, Father, as it were on bended knee, to love You, to serve You. God, we commit our lives to You, even as we gather here in this place. We commit our will to Yours. We commit our love to You. We commit our devotion to You. And so we pray that You will, by the power of Your Spirit, guide us and lead us into this new week to live for You. God, we confront a lot of things in our lives. Personally, some of us are struggling with health. God, we pray for healing. We pray for blessing in our lives. We pray for Your presence to sustain us. We confront, God, conflict and difficulties in our lives, maybe within our own families, or perhaps in our workplace, or among friends. God, we commit those things to You as well and pray, God, that You will bring restoration, that You will bring healing, that You will bring into our own lives humility necessary to come before You in the midst of difficulty. And God, we pray that You will guide us with wisdom and strength. God, we commit our world to You, a world filled with brokenness, violence, in war. God, we pray for Your people in the Ukraine, in Gaza, in Haiti, places in the world, God, where there is just enormous unrest. Father, we pray for Your peace, for Your mercy to reign in our world. And we commit all of our worry and all of our anxiety and all of our disappointment and discouragement and even despair, we commit it to you. We pray that we may live as light in this world, with love and joy and peace. We commit ourselves to you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we began this series on the spiritual disciplines, practices of our faith, and we said God is more than a good idea, and the faith practices that we establish in our lives embody the faith, our faith in God, so as to make God real, more than just an idea in our head that we think about, but indeed our faith practices, our spiritual disciplines, are habits that we consistently nurture within our own lives so that we really live for God, so that we really live for Christ. Not only that, but we've also said the spiritual disciplines themselves are more than a good idea. We practice the disciplines not because they're important in and of themselves, because quite frankly the word discipline even has negative connotations that we think, let's not be so formal, so structured. But the spiritual disciplines are more than a good idea. They're not for their own sake, but they're to set us free in order to live for Christ. So the disciplines that we want to talk about today are the spiritual disciplines of submission and of simplicity. These are practices of faith that Jesus addresses, in fact, in Matthew chapter 6. Now, several weeks ago when we began this series, we took a look at the very beginning of Matthew chapter 6, because there Jesus addressed three spiritual disciplines: giving, praying, and fasting. Today we're going to follow that up as Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, following that up with instruction and explanation about what the spiritual practice of submitting to God and living simply might mean. The disciplines of submission and simplicity. They free us. They free us to give up control of our lives. An expectation that we so easily grab a hold of, to say, I'm in control. I can manage my life. I can manage my surroundings. I'll make sure that everything is within my grasp. And the discipline of submission and simplicity free us to let go of that control and let God be the sovereign ruler of our lives. So let's take a look first then at the discipline of submission. The discipline of submission counters our tendency to take control, and we take control needlessly when the focus of our life is misplaced. So that's what Jesus targets as he continues his Sermon on the Mount after he's instructed us about giving and prayer and fasting in our lives. And then he says this, Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 18. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So here Jesus makes three statements about the focus of your life, or the foundation of your life. What's the thing that you zero in on in terms of the shape of your life? Jesus makes three statements about that. First, where your treasure is, there your heart is. Your eyes are the lamp to your body. And you can't serve two masters. We're going to take a look at each of those statements. The first statement challenges us to submit to the right focus, the right controller of our life, which is indeed God. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What is your treasure? What do you think about the most in your life? What do you worry about the most, perhaps, in your life? Likely that is where your treasure is. And your treasure is what you're going to submit to. You'll devote energy to it. You'll devote money to it. You will devote your will to it. You will devote all kinds of things. You will devote yourself to your treasure. So we have to ask ourselves, what are the ways that we submit to our greatest treasure in life? How do we then also, if we say, oh yeah, my greatest treasure is God, well then, how do we devote ourselves to God? How do we submit? What are the practices by which we can say, yes, I am practicing submission to God? We'll return to that momentarily. But then Jesus adds a second statement. And this second statement, your eyes are a lamp to your body, advises us about our attitude toward submission. Now, in the original language, there's connotations that we don't necessarily pick up on. But when Jesus talks about eyes that are healthy, he's referring to eyes that have a single focus. They're well-focused, your eyes, when they're healthy, when they're sound. There's a single focus. So that's what Jesus is talking about. And when your eyes are unhealthy, Jesus is talking about not only that your eyes are out of focus, but that your eyes also reflect the stinginess within your body, that the selfishness within your body. And that's why he says, when your eyes are healthy, your body is filled with light. When your eyes are unhealthy, when they're unfocused, when your attitude towards submission is selfish, I only submit to myself, then your whole body turns into darkness. So the challenge that Jesus presents is to have single focus on the service of God, to have a generous attitude towards submitting to the authority of God, the greatness of God, the marvel of God, to have the humility to say, not me, but you, not mine, but yours. And the third statement that Jesus recalls here is a similar warning against living a double life, against duplicity, living deceitfully. That means that you live with a double standard. You say you serve God, but you submit to money or actually the word is mammon, which means all the stuff in your life. All the things you've managed to acquire, including money, but material things as well, perhaps even family, all the stuff that you would gather up and say, this is all mine. Now, in ancient Jewish communities, the saying was quite common and popular that the calling would be to serve God with your mammon. Jesus tweaks that statement, indicating how easy it is for us to slide away from serving God with our mammon, to slide into serving God or mammon or money. So Jesus is laying out an explicit warning here to say, watch out. Because it's too easy for us to make a double standard and say, yep, I'll submit to God, and then in fact live as though we're submitting to our true treasure. So, submission, the discipline of submission. Jesus is talking about what is the foundation of your life. Is it big enough? Is it great enough? Is it important enough? Is it powerful enough to warrant your submission? What are the practices that you've established in your life in order to submit to the greatness of our God? I might suggest that it could be as simple as not always getting your own way. We often talk about the younger generations as being so entitled. But I suspect every one of us has to admit that we all have that sense of entitlement. Every one of us has that sense that life owes me. I've worked hard, so life owes me. I've honored God, so God owes me. We all have that tendency towards that. So maybe in practicing submission to God, is simply saying, I don't always need my own way. Attached to that, perhaps, is that practicing submission could also be the practice of making a way for others. And that, of course, gets us into the whole discipline of serving that we talked about several weeks ago. To be able to serve others is also to practice submission to God by submitting to others, submitting to their needs, submitting to their wants, submitting to their desires. On the one hand, that sounds very nice. On the other hand, that's hard to do, isn't it? To submit to others. It's the way of the gospel, though. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians, in writing to the Ephesian church and applying it to relationships with one another, says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Recalling Jesus' own words, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it to me. Ultimately, then, the practice of submission is a matter of submitting to God. Or in the words of Jesus, if you want to be my disciples, he said, you must take up your cross and follow me. He's talking about submission. Just like in this Lent season, as we reflect on following Jesus in the road of suffering that led him to the cross. He died there on the cross because he submitted. He submitted to the will of others, indeed. He stood before the ruler, Pontius Pilate, and he remained silent. Even when Pilate invited him to defend himself, he submitted. But more than that, he submitted to his Father. He submitted to his Father's will. He knew the purpose of why he came to earth. And so Jesus invites us into that kind of gospel-shaped life, a cruciform shape, a shape of the cross in which we learn to give up ourselves for the sake of God's kingdom, for the sake of God, for the sake of God's will. It's a call to the gospel-shaped life. It also means submitting to the authority of the Bible. It also means submitting to the Christian community. It also means submitting to the community at large to say, I'm a servant to the people around me. That's the gospel-shaped life. And it requires submission. Humbling ourselves before the greatness of God. To submit to the kingdom of God, a kingdom that Jesus instructed Nicodemus, a kingdom that can only be seen if you're born again, which challenges us in terms of the practice of submission. If you don't turn your heart and life over to Jesus, you won't see the kingdom. And if you don't turn your heart and life over to Jesus, this practice of submission will be impossible. Because all you've got to hang on to then is yourself. The practice of submission. Well, then what about the discipline of simplicity? Well, Jesus carries on then from this discipline of submission to simplicity. When the focus of your life is misplaced, when you distort the foundation of your life and make it all about yourself, we needlessly complicate our life. When we don't have a focus for our life, when we simply say, I'm just going to do whatever, we needlessly complicate our life. And Jesus says, practice simplicity. It's going to help you to focus your life on the greatness of God. It's going to help you shape your life around God's kingdom rather than having to worry about your own kingdom or establishing the kingdoms of the world and making peace within it. And so Jesus carries on in that same Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor, they don't spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And then he adds, you of little faith. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Must have been amazing to hear Jesus preach those words. The discipline of simplicity. How it can free us to live under the rule of God, under the providence of God, the provisions of God. This discipline of simplicity then isn't about whether we can pare down our lives to the very minimum. That's not what Jesus is getting at. Simplicity isn't about reducing your life so that you barely have anything. That we call poverty. Simplicity isn't about reducing your life so that you barely do anything. That we call laziness. Simplicity is about whether you can trust in the providence of God, whether you can trust in His provision, for He promises all that you need so that you can live, so that you can live freely, openly, before God, who rules over the world and who rules over your life. That's Jesus' point here in describing how God feeds and clothes everything else. And so He's going to feed and clothe you. Now we have to be careful, because what Jesus is not saying is that you need to, or that you can cease all responsibility for yourself. Or for that matter, that you have no responsibility to the other people around you. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, hey, don't worry, don't do anything, because I'll take care of it all. No, we also have our responsibilities. Otherwise, this becomes a cruel statement for those who really have no clothes or no food. The poor. No, Jesus, when He talks about living simply, He's talking about a matter of trust and faith. I have come, He said in John 10, verse 10, I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's an issue of trusting Jesus. We usually mix that up with our own Western culture, which concentrates and emphasizes the accumulation of as many things as you can get. And so we come to interpret Jesus' words, life abundantly, as though we get to have a lot of stuff. That's not what Jesus is saying. People without food, people without clothing, still enjoy the abundant life. It's one of the marvels of when we go to impoverished places through our missions work and associating with our partners who live in impoverished conditions. We marvel at their ability to live abundantly, full of joy. And yet they have so little. We marvel at that. So simplicity. What does it look like? Well, in the first place, it's a discipline, Paul says. In Philippians chapter 4, he is writing from prison to the Christians in Philippi. He's thankful for the gift that they have given him so that he can sustain his life and livelihood. But then he says, but I have learned to be content in all things. He had to learn it. Simplicity is about training ourselves, learning it. It's a matter of training yourself to think differently. Recalling Paul's words of having a transformed mind. To not simply just go the way of the culture, but to let your mind be transformed by Christ Himself. And so thinking differently, instead of aiming for status, maybe aim for usefulness when it comes to things that you buy. Instead of obsessing over the latest gadget, focus on that single aim. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Instead of fixating on owning what's beautiful, it's one of the things that gets me. I go on vacation, we rent a cottage somewhere by the water, and you think, this is amazing. I want to own something like this. Maybe instead, learn to simply enjoy what God places in front of you without having to grab a hold of it, without having to seize it. Max Lucado, author and pastor, he wrote this. He said, "For years, I was an avid cyclist. I loved it," he said. "I was one of those guys with the tight shorts and helmet, and I eventually got to the point where I competed in events, and a guy in my church offered to teach me a lot more about cycling. So I bought a bike, some clip-in shoes, and spandex, and went out and loved it," he says. But then he started saying that I needed to get some gadgets. You know, everything from a speedometer to a monitor for my pulse rate to a device to read the incline of a hill. And I had gauges on gauges. And then there was the music. My cycling expert friend told me, "You'll bike better if you listen to some hard rock." So I did. And all of a sudden, I was a serious biker. One day, lo and behold, he goes on, I wrecked the bike. And I had to borrow a friend's bike, one with no gadgets on it at all. And for whatever reason, he says, I didn't take any music with me on my ride. And I was surprised how much I enjoyed that ride. It was delightful, just delightful. I was riding for the pure joy of riding. Simplicity. We can learn to live our lives like that. For the pure joy of being in the presence of God. Without all the gadgets, without all of the stuff that we think make up our life. Because if God clothes the flowers of the field, he will clothe you and me. Amen. Ultimately, then, these disciplines of submission and simplicity come together in whatever is the focus of your life. The discipline of simplicity is submission to Christ. The discipline of submission to Christ is how you bring simplicity or focus into your life. And so Jesus simply concludes these two disciplines by saying this: but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And then I think Jesus chuckled a bit and said, each day has enough trouble of its own. Because Jesus lived the same kind of life that you did. He lived in the same kind of world you did. And he knew from day to day that, man, tomorrow is just gonna bring more trouble. He knew it. And yet, he said, but, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In his book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster goes through all of these disciplines as well. And he explains that seeking first the kingdom isn't so much a way of doing as it is a way of being. I like that. Seeking first the kingdom isn't about, okay, what do I get and do next to accomplish God's kingdom? God's kingdom isn't for us to build. We simply submit to God within his kingdom. seeking first the kingdom of God is a way of being, an attitude of life, a focus, a foundation for your life as you practice the disciplines of submission and simplicity. And so Richard Foster writes, Soren Kierkegaard, who was a 19th century philosopher and preacher, Soren Kierkegaard considers what sort of effort could be made to pursue the kingdom of God. He imagines this question: should a person get a suitable job in order to exert a virtuous influence towards the kingdom of God? His answer: no. We must first seek God's kingdom. Oh, well, then, should we give away all of our money to feed the poor? Again, the answer is no. First, seek the kingdom of God. Well, then, perhaps we're to go out and preach that truth. Preach it to the world that people are to seek God's kingdom first. And once again, the answer is a resounding no. We are to first seek the kingdom of God. And then all these things, all the stuff we need to do, it's going to be added to us. You see, because if we first go about doing the work of the kingdom, we'll fall into all kinds of legalisms. We'll fall into all kinds of judgments about you shouldn't be doing that and you need to be doing this. Seek first the kingdom. When we do that, then seeking is the priority. And God's kingdom becomes our focus. And then we can live with a sense of love, a sense of peace, a sense of joy. Why? Because God is establishing his kingdom in our world. And so the disciplines of submission and simplicity, although they sound restricting to us, it's like, oh, brother, a downer. In fact, those disciplines are the way to freedom. Freedom to live in the fullness of God's kingdom. So let's commit to that. Let's pray together. Oh God, we so twist and turn life upside down, and we complicate it and make it so difficult so that even serving you seems complicated and impossible. And yet, Father, you are our Father. You are the one who gives us life. You are the one who provides for us. You are the one who wills our lives. You are the one who guides us, who leads us. You are the one, God, who is in control. Even when the world seems in chaos, God, you hold it in your hand. You are a powerful God. You, O Lord, are a great God. God, you are full of love and compassion, a compassion that is endless, a compassion that is faithful, a compassion that goes on and on and on into a world filled with hate. And so, God, help us. Help us to trust in you. Help us to believe in you. Help us to submit to you. Help us to bend the knee before you in all of our life, in every activity of our life, in every attitude that we bring into life, in every word and notion that we speak and think. Oh God, help us to submit. Father in heaven, we pray that we'll be able to let go of all of the things that we hold on to so tightly that get in the way of loving you, of serving you. And help us to give you all the praise and all the glory. Help us to live in the freedom of your rule over this whole world. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You just made a commitment. Let's sing together.
Please stand.